Yeah, we're doing things a bit differently today. I want to read now the letters. We always have some letters to help us start applying the gospel. And today the reading is from Colossians 1, beginning at verse 24 in the New Living Translation. And Paul is writing to the little church in Colossae that he had never met, never visited them, never been there. Didn't know them personally. But he says, "I am glad when I suffer for you in my body, for I am participating in the sufferings of Christ that continue for his body, the church. God has given me the responsibility of serving his church by proclaiming his entire message to you. This message was kept secret for centuries and generations past. But now it has been revealed to God's people. For God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This secret gives you assurance of sharing his glory. So we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us. We want to present them to God, perfect, mature, in their relationship to Christ. And that's why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me." Paul had never been there, but he felt a responsibility to them because probably the church at Colossae was planted out during his time in Ephesus. He sent his team members out to various towns in and around Asia Minor there, and Colossae was one of them. But now Paul is writing from house arrest in Rome, after about 4 years of suffering injustices, plus lots of hardships, including shipwreck, on his journey to Rome. So Paul wants to explain to the little church of believers there why he is even glad to be suffering for what he's doing. It's because he has been commissioned by God himself through Jesus to deliver a message both to the Jews, that is the Old Testament believers, the covenant, the Old Covenant, and to the rest of the world, people like us, Gentiles. And his message is a message of two things. He points out it's a message of warning and it's a message of disclosing. Warning because the King is coming back to judge the world. And we will see him come. Whether we see him appear in the clouds, or whether we will be amongst those who have gone on ahead and are resurrected, given new bodies to be with him and share his glory at that time. But the warning is there. You don't know when that will be, when your time will come, whether everybody's time will come. And because you don't know, be ready. Jesus is exalted and enthroned as the King of the universe. How wise to bow before him, to submit to him, not to follow Herod's example and oppose him, even to the extent of trying to kill him. Warning is one thing, but disclosing is the other. The teaching. And this disclosing is the sharing of a life-saving secret which will keep them safe when Jesus returns. And that secret is that Christ now lives in you. Let it sink in. Paul is writing to you, as much as to the church in Colossae, to the church in Westview. The secret is Christ now lives in you individually, and in us collectively as a group of believers. And we know this through three things: because you believe the message that he is the Lord, that he was resurrected from the dead, he was exalted and enthroned as Lord of all. You believe that? We believe that. And secondly, you have surrendered your life to him as your Lord personally, and as a group we acknowledge, in our coming together we acknowledge that he is Lord. And thirdly, he has given you his own Spirit. The Spirit of Jesus that raised him from the dead now lives in you. And that, says Paul, is our assurance. It is our living confidence. It is our hope. It is our hope of safety beyond the grave. It is the hope of an eternity sharing the glory of Christ. And not the kind of iffy hope that sometimes the word has in English. It's a confident hope. It's based on the faithfulness of God himself to keep his promises, individually and collectively. And Paul wants them not only to agree with this fact, but also to go with it, to push on exploring what this means, to push on to maturity, not just to be bare bones believers, but to push on, what does this mean that Christ lives in me? Think about it. Apply it to yourself. What does it mean that Christ lives in you by his eternal, glorious Spirit living in you right now? The implications of that, what are they? He wants us to explore what it means. He wants us to discover more and more the implications of that fact. Because, he says, he wants to present them to God one day, mature, perfected in their relationship to Christ, verse 28. Not stunted and immature, but perfected, mature. We've pushed on, we've explored what it means, we've gone with it, we've sought, for all we know, to live in the truth that Christ lives in us as a community, and he lives in us, each one individually. So today continues Paul's commission from God through Jesus in regard to us, to Westview, not just to Colossae. Individually to you, collectively to us. And this fact gives us a confident hope and assurance. Two things I noted: because the fear of death is removed, death becomes the gateway to glory. And in another letter, Paul said we don't grieve at death the way unbelievers grieve. We grieve because we're going to miss the departed loved one. But they're okay. They've gone to glory. It's we who are left that have to carry on in the battle. And secondly, not only has the fear of death been removed, but a process of change has begun. So that now we can behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ because of his Spirit living in us. I want to conclude by reading another letter of Paul's that he wrote to the Corinthians. I'm reading 2 Corinthians. It won't be on the screen. 2 Corinthians, some verses from chapter 3 and chapter 4. And it says that all of us who believe can see and reflect the glory of the Lord, and the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. And that is a process. happening for us. You are not what you were when you first believed. Hopefully you have pushed on because of the fact, the secret that you now know that Christ lives in you. A little further on in chapter 4, he writes, Satan has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see what we're on about. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. For God has made this light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. And we now have this light shining in our hearts. We ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. Yep, that's our confidence. That's our assurances from God himself. We are hope bearers, people of hope, confidence. And we are growing, we're pushing on toward maturity, bit by bit, by bit by bit. We're beholding his glory. Now we'll do that as we break the bread and share the cup, symbols of Jesus' body and his blood. And through these symbols, the Spirit will be at work. I say this with confidence. He will be at work as you allow him to speak to you through these symbols and through the scriptures that we just read, and through me, I hope, as part of one of the community of believers here. Yes, so that's what we're going to do. Let me pray and give thanks now for these reminders of the body and blood of Jesus.